Okay, Russ, for the score in Chicago. The Danny Parkin Show.
Least helpful local talk show host, Danny Parkins.
Afternoons on the score.
Grody?
Matt Nagy. He starts off slow and kind of even-tempered, and then he builds up. It's kind of like a Nirvana song.
I'm hoping that really none of us slept last night. If you really care, whatever it is, I know this. We better wake our tails up. Every freaking coach on the staff, every player better wake up, have some personal pride, have a freaking sense of urgency.
Calm down, Italy, diddly, 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 diddly. They did their best, shoddily, Italy, Italy, diddly. Gotta be nice, hostility, diddly, diddly, diddly. Oh, hell, diddly, ding, dong, crap! Can't you morons do anything right?
Hey. That's my challenge to every single person in that building. Yesterday was flat out embarrassing. Figure it out. Don't sit here and talk about it. Check yourself. You better have some stinking fire.
I am shocked and appalled.
Two more for Coach JJ.
What do we have here? The last case you got to the bottom of was a case of Malamars!
Hub.
Matt, it's obvious.
You ugly, hate-filled man.
Dan Wiederer.
Matt, you obviously understand the big picture ramifications of this league.
Do I hear the sound of butting in? Springfield's answer to a question no one asked!
Mark Brody?
Oh, yeah, the clown. The only one of you buffoons who doesn't make me laugh.
Jason Leisure?
And as for you, I don't know you, but I'm sure you're a jerk.
Last one, Pat, go ahead.
You are the worst human being I have ever met.
Hey, I got off pretty easy.
Thanks, Coach.
Thank you.
You're so funny, man.
The Danny Parkin Show.
That's what all the kids listen to you, man. You are the best thing on the radio.
Afternoons 2 to 6 on 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago's sports station.
Thank you so much for hanging out with the Danny Parkin Show. It's really just Chris Tannehill's world, and we're all living in it. Beautifully done with Bears questions and Ned Flanders and the Simpsons references there. It was
kind of like one of the Zoolander movies where it was even better the second time. Like the first Zoolander when I saw it, I was kind of like, it was fine, I guess. Then I watched it again and a third time. It's kind of like after a couple times, you know what? That was even better than the first time I saw it. And I would say that Tanny Open qualifies in that regard.
Thank you.
That happens with comedies all the time. And I'm glad that you like Zoolander. That movie just cracks me up. Who would have thought that they could have died in a harmless gasoline fight? I quote when he gets the voice memo from being home from the spa. He's like, that is a bit above average.
Yeah, right.
I say that is a bit above average once every three shows. Like I
feel like I'm taking crazy pills.
My kid's crawling around or whatever, and he like keeps like looking back to his right. You know, he crawls away. He's like, "Oh, mom and dad's still there." I'm like, "Kid can't turn left." Like, I love
that
movie.
Ambi Turner. Yeah,
yeah, exactly. He's not an Ambi Turner. First look. It's just, I think I'm coming down with the black lung pop. Like, it's
the
just
black lung pop.
Orange mocha frappuccino. It's so great. But that's probably not why you're here, but it might be, honestly. I watched that movie late night tonight. Who knows? Anything is possible. The world is our oyster. But
should have been watching Coming to America instead of that Bears game from Sunday night. Because Coming to America was on CBS. Bears happened to be on Sunday Night Football, so I had to watch. But I should have at least recorded Coming to America. That would have been a wise decision.
No, it would not have been. Coming to America is comedic genius. Mm-hmm. It is one of the. It is a perfect comedy. It should not be.
Oh, decimated. Like on network television without the. Yeah, I hear you.
I saw that promo. I wanted to vomit.
Right.
Like, you're going to put commercials and censors and skip scenes to fit your precious 2-hour broadcast window or whatever it is for Coming to America? Like the bathing scene at the beginning? Out of the movie, the barbershop. Like,
is there a way
here?
Around it? I wonder where maybe you still see the royal bather emerge without a line. Maybe I don't know.
I'm not interested. It's like when I see The Hangover on TBS. Like, no, stop,
Mr. Randy Watson.
Yes, sir.
Yeah,
from the What's Going Down episode. That's my mama.
I. I appreciate. Do you ever watch IFC, like movies on IFC when you're scrolling around?
On occasion. Yeah. Uh-huh. Right.
I want to like get the Mitch Rosen of that channel on the show just to thank him. Like, they just made an editorial decision. They're like, we're not blurring anything. We're not censoring anything. Like, you watch Wolf of Wall Street, and I'm like, oh, man, it's not on, like, HBO or Showtime.
Right.
And then, like, Margot Robbie hanging out. They're doing what they're doing.
Comedy Central will catch me off guard every once in a while. I don't know if it's like after 11 or after midnight or something. Okay,
yeah. Super late. I think after midnight Eastern, they will. I don't know that they'll do nudity on Comedy Central, but they will allow for cursing and like unedited and stuff like that.
I saw the Werewolf of Wall Street.
Werewolf of Wall Street. But yeah, like IFC, and they run promos for it. Like if you're like there when there's not a commercial, they're just like they're like, no beeps, no blurred lines, no censors. The movies you love as they were intended to be viewed. IFC, and I'm like, yes.
See, I'm just accustomed to everything being the Walmart version when it's on anything that's not like real cable TV, not on a movie channel. So no, I never even made that connection with IFC until you said it there. But yeah, I suppose that's true.
I love it. They just have made a decision to do it the correct way, and more people should follow suit, frankly. Like, there's a guy who does radio. He works for this company at an FM station in Kansas City, and he just made the decision that you can call someone an a-hole on the air. He's just like, what are they going to do? It's not technically an FCC violation.
Oh.
Now, he happened to also be the program director, so like the complaints came to him. So you'd have to go like really high up in the company. He's like, you can't talk about the body part, you know? Like, you can't be graphic in that way, but like, he's like, you can call someone an a-hole, and he just says it. And he just like made the decision one day, and he's like, what are they going to do? And it's amazing. Like, it's an editorial decision that he made, and he sticks by it. And frankly, it leads to more honest conversation, because sometimes you just want to call someone an a-hole.
And my son was born just over 3 years ago, and it was around the time where I started doing more regular stuff here on The Score. And so in that moment, I ended up, as I was like on in that afternoon, started doing stuff like golf and Bernstein or whatever. And I started talking about changing diapers because that was new to me. And I didn't, as I was like using certain words about bodily functions, and I didn't know, like, like golf is just like literally on the ground rolling around laughing. Dan's trying to like wave his hands at me to get me to stop talking. I turn around. Apparently, Tanny had been like bleeping me out half the time I was talking about my son's bodily movements.
Really?
And I had no idea. Like, I didn't know
it shouldn't be
a
thing. You're talking about a little baby, you know, but it is. It's a thing.
Oh man, that's so great.
Did not know. Had no idea.
You didn't know that, like, sometimes when you consume media, people are not saying and speaking exactly how they're allowed to speak or how they want to speak?
Well, yeah. I knew I couldn't drop an F-bomb. I didn't know I couldn't say poop.
I
thought poop would be okay.
Gotcha.
That was I guessed wrong.
You guessed wrong. Yeah. Well, yeah. I like to err on the side of just, like, taking the shot. Like, it's like, beg for forgiveness instead of asking for permission. Tanny should have hit the dump button. Like,
yeah, exactly.
If I'm not supposed to say it, like, Tanny should have hit the dump button. That's not me. That's not the guy he's supposed to know.
It's our guy Danny right there.
Yeah, always looking to take care of other people.
I'm the talent. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I know it was a joke, you jerk. I don't refer to myself that way.
Perfect spot for a-hole right there. It would just been
exactly. Perfect spot. Mr. Talent to you. But so Tanny did a great thing for us. And because I was watching the game last
great
night,
American.
Right? I'm watching Eagles, Seahawks, and a couple of, like, when I go to school in the Northeast, unfortunately, one of the byproducts of that is you meet a lot of people from the Northeast, and it's an unfortunate thing. But I knew a lot of Eagles fans. And so I still interact with some of them, like in group chats or social media feeds and whatnot. And what I'm seeing them say about this team is pitch perfect verbatim what we had been saying and have been saying about the Bears. And I will be honest with you, like, it is what's happened to the Eagles has kind of shook me a little bit, because I would say everybody has biases.
Worried the Bears are about to win a Super Bowl with their backup quarterback?
No, that would be amazing. But no, like why I went so hard in believing in Nagy and Trubisky when I knew nothing about Mitch and I wanted Deshaun Watson and I said I wanted Deshaun Watson on draft night and the day after the draft. Everyone knows I wanted Deshaun Watson, but like they dared to be great at quarterback. They hired a coach from a system that works, and we had seen in Philly, QB I knew nothing about in college and Carson Wentz, go to Doug Peterson, the Andy Reid disciple. He turns him into an MVP in short order. He would have won the MVP if he doesn't blow out his knee. And then he gets hurt, and it's not just the quarterback. It was the system because Nick Foles comes in and is amazing. So that's why people like Parkins bingo, just mentioned the Andy Reid tree, mentioned the system. It was part of covering him in Kansas City for so long, seeing what he did with Alex Smith. Everyone's like, oh, well, you have to have Pat Mahomes. Man, Alex Smith was a checkdown artist when he got there. By the time he had a few years with Andy Reid, led the NFL in deep ball passer rating. Like, I had seen the transformation of Alex Smith, and then I saw Doug Peterson and Carson Wentz, and I'm like, oh, my God, it's finally going to happen for the Bears. I'm finally going to have modern, representative NFL offensive football. And it's weird that 2 years after the Super Bowl, they still have the coach, they still have the quarterback, they paid the quarterback, and the whole damn thing looks broken, and they're calling for everyone's firing. So I want to start this, Anthony. We listened to WIP in Philly. This is Rob Ellis and Dan Klecko, Eagles postgame on WIP. And tell me if this not could have not been you and Olin on the post-post show here on The Score.
Why can't Doug do that? Like, no, let's continue to 5 and 7 step drop and run our head into a wall.
All year, he has been square peg, round hole guy. I can't fathom why that
is. And he's a player.
I don't get it.
Like, he's a player. He doesn't go, all right, let me go talk to my guy and see what we need to do.
Where has the guy gone who coached this team to a Super Bowl and was so innovative?
Is he in Annapolis? Yeah.
I think I just answered my own question. But yeah, it's amazing to me. And I will tell you this too. Wentz took 6 sacks tonight. And, you know, a lot of times this year, it has been him holding the ball too long. I really didn't think that was the case tonight.
The fourth quarter, he didn't have 2 seconds to look over the field.
The line stunk collectively.
But again, maybe some max protect, maybe some. But you know what? Play action doesn't work when you ran the ball 5 times.
Yeah, you're not.
It just doesn't
that.
Work.
You're not biting on any of that, and that's just it's predictable. It's the same old thing. It's the definition of insanity. You're expecting different results, and you're doing the same exact thing every single week. They have no answers during the week. What's happening during the week?
Like, I don't know.
Really? I mean, what are you doing to change, to try to improve, to try to get this thing going? It looks the same.
It's like that insanity. Until you keep doing this stuff over and over, you know. And so we got to collectively come together.
Dude, it's the same thing. Today they asked Doug Peterson if he was going to give up play calling. And he's like, it's kind of my thing. I like it. It'd be really hard for me to do. It's totally bizarre how this, and everyone's like, well, Parkins, it's not the same because the Eagles won the Super Bowl. I know that. I know.
No, but what you're missing is Danny's mind had already fast-forwarded to the Bears winning the Super Bowl.
Yes.
And so now we're already on the other side of that. And just kind of that's where
I was like, I have my bottle of bourbon for the parade. I'm ready to go. I can't believe how quickly this has fallen apart. I can't believe it. In Philly or here. It's totally insane to me, Anthony.
I need to open up the text line. I haven't even been looking at the text. Let me pull
all right,
that
well, you do that.
See how this experience is going on there. Because you are exactly right. That is almost verbatim what it sounds like reacting to a Bears game. Aside from the fact that, yes, they just won a Super Bowl a few years ago. But aside from that, like what we're reacting to this season with the Bears, the last couple of seasons with the Bears, is that. Yes, it is eerie.
All right, give me some callers from WIP, Tanny.
It's coaching, man. It is coaching. And we're going to hear from Doug in the next segment. Eric in California. Eric, you're on the postgame show.
Gentlemen, thanks so much for having me. Calling in from Oakland, California, originally from Reading, PA. I'm pissed right now. I'm not going to go on a rant. But look, everyone and their mother wants to talk about Wentz versus Hurts, but I won't do that. My question is, are we content thus far with Darius Slay, that contract, and his performance today, or is DK Metcalf just that dude? My question
Is Slay a shutdown cornerback, or is he just above average? Go Birds.
All right, you got it.
Thanks, Eric.
Go Birds.
Go Birds.
Guys?
Go Bears.
Birds.
Birds. Yeah, absolutely. It's the same. Does our guy suck, or is that guy good? Give me another WIP caller, because this question of a suggestion on who it should be, we got 50 of these texts yesterday. Go ahead.
They haven't gotten to the 30 threshold all season
year.
Long.
Wow.
In a scoring league like it is now.
Yeah, you'd think you'd pop two or three games, right, where you score 30 points.
Yeah, but that's it. They have not done it. Let's get Larry in Ridley Park. Larry, you're on the Eagles postgame show.
Fellas, you might think I'm a little bit crazy, but I got a two-part question, okay?
Yes.
I got this gut feeling that the coach is going to get fired tomorrow.
What? Tell me what specifically makes you think.
Well,
as
you guys were talking about, there seems to be no plan, no improvement, no nothing. Look at your next five games, Rob.
Yep.
Who are they against? Winning teams, right?
Winning teams that score a lot, which means you're going to have to put up major points.
Right.
Yep.
And you got a defensive coordinator who was once a head coach. He relieves the head coach, and you move on to the end of the year. And by the way, Dan, your boy Reddick he put Howie over to Coles tonight.
I heard he was.
Is he basically showcasing for a job?
I mean, look, if Jeff Lurie is smart, he's the first guy he has in this year. He's a local guy. He knows the college ranks. He knows how to put a philosophy together, and he also, unlike a lot of people are going to point to, hey, look at Mayock, he was the draft guru. Mayock didn't really play the game. Lewis played the game for 6-7 years in the NFL.
So,
he was around a guy like Belichick. He knows how to put a philosophy together, team.
Here's the deal. They had the cameras on Jeffrey. Do you think Jeffrey looked happy tonight?
No.
I don't. Okay, so here's the deal. You've got to get Howie out of the building if you're going to be either a Dan Jeremiah or a Lewis Reddick in. He's got to be gone, Dan. Because what he will do is undermine the next guy that comes in, the Jeffrey. And nobody's going to come in with Howie still there.
Well, I could tell you this, Larry. Thanks, Larry. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Larry.
Two things. If we're just talking specifically about Reddick, he will not be here if Howie is still in the building.
We got 50 texts for Lewis Reddick to replace the Bears. They're talking about Alshon Jeffrey. They're talking about firing their general manager. They're talking about firing their coach, who, by the way, their coach, 3 straight trips to the playoffs in the NFC, and a Super Bowl.
Yep.
It's wild.
Yep.
Totally insane. And I got to be honest, Anthony, I don't know how much of that game you watched. I can't say that they're totally wrong. Like, I still believe in Carson Wentz in the right set of circumstances, but they look totally clueless and broken without any real idea of how to solve the problem. What does that sound like?
There are so many squads in the NFL that are going to be looking for another quarterback this offseason. And it's not in all cases because they're sure their dude stinks. It's in some cases, they're just sure they're ready to move on from the guy they have right now. I mean, it's got to be at least 10 teams in the league right now that are in a position where they're probably going to be looking for another QB. And you got a bunch of fan, but like, Philly's not one of those squads. They're not about to move on from Carson Wentz. You just got a fan base that's watching him play poorly that wants to move on from him. The franchise didn't move on from Carson Wentz. But the point about how many squads are moving on from their QB is that it's hard to find a good one. Like, that's the point I was making to Lawrence in transition about Jared Goff. You can tell me you think Jared Goff stinks all you want. Jared Goff took that team to the Super Bowl appearance, and he may do it again this year. I mean, when you look at that division right now, I think Seattle is more likely to come out of that division now that their defense is coming around here. But overall, man, like, I'm not betting against the Rams to at least be able to make a run in the playoffs. They got Sean McVay. They got I think Jared Goff is a competent enough quarterback when they operate well around him. It is hard to find truly high-level quarterback play. There are only a few guys in the league that, regardless of what's around them, can thrive. That's why it's so – like Josh Allen out in Buffalo, he is not a great quarterback, but he's had some great moments. He wasn't even as good a quarterback last season as Mitch was. They weren't asking him to do anything but run the ball and make the occasional throw. Now he has developed. He's playing better this season. He was shortly in the MVP discussion. There is so much that goes into finding a guy, and then when that guy's there, nurturing him, and once you have nurtured him, to actually find something sustainable that's there. And right now, Philly is not sustainable in the least.
He's Anthony Herron. I want to talk to you about Matt Nagy's tone change. Oh, we got one more piece of audio from Philly? Okay, well, let's hear it. WIP.
No, again, Wentz comes out, rusty, bad, missing throws. There were some drops as well mixed in there. Miles Sanders among them. Alshon Jeffrey, you know, maybe not giving you 100% shocking. But, you know, that...
You
know,
that, love that guy.
Oh, he's one of my favorites.
Yeah.
So, you know, not surprising. But again, you know, you look at the Eagles' first quarters, Dan. They've scored 5 first quarter touchdowns in 11 games.
Wow.
That's a team that is utterly
unprepared
to
right.
start games. That's coaching, that's prep, that's scheme, that's attack for whatever, that's countering as the game goes on, and they're just not able to do it.
The thing I take it back to is the game after the bye, when they came out so flat, so listless.
Oh, my gosh.
Game plan was a joke, and they went 0-for-9 on third downs.
Yep.
That's where I knew Doug was cooked, man.
No question.
He's cooked.
You hear it listening to him. He sounds like a shot fighter.
Yeah.
And that's not a good sign, man, because you got 5 more games.
You got a month and change to go. I mean,
with 3 killers coming up.
It's not fun at all.
Oh, God. It's the exact same thing.
Yeah.
That's so wild, man. And if he's shot and Nagy's shot and they don't know how to solve it and they don't know how to counterpunch, this thing could just be completely over. And I know many Bears fans think it is. I want to talk to you, Ant, about Matt Nagy's tone change and if you think it matters, like so many people in the media seem to be, they're obsessing over it is how I feel about it. It's next on the Score.
Knowing George well, and I don't know Ryan Pace that well, but I know him. You know, did George McCaskey call him in or Virginia? And right. Virginia wouldn't do the talking, but she would sure as heck sit there. And George says, you know what, you better say something. You know, we're losing our fan base. You know, the defense for the first time didn't perform, you know, up to the level that they're capable of. You better say something publicly to let our fan base know that we're trying to right the ship. It was either that or they told him, hey, go ahead. You better get on. You know, you're going to be our coach for a while. And so he's confident. He's not worried about upsetting a few players or coaches or whatever because he knows he's going to be here. It's one or the other. I mean, that you just don't wake up and all of a sudden change your personality. That does not happen.
Man, I love Dave Wannstedt. That was really good stuff on Mully and Haw. I disagree. Matt Nagy can be a red ass. He can be fiery. He doesn't show it to the media very often. But like it's not like he's some sort of like cuddly, like passive type B personality. That's not who he is. He met the media early. On Monday, met the media at like 10 in the morning, 10:30 in the morning. They played on Sunday night on the road. He said in that clip, like, it's like, hopefully nobody slept last night because they're so mad and embarrassed about how we were. He hadn't slept. He wasn't lying about that. That was probably a guy who was pissed, embarrassed, definitely, you know, he's getting asked about getting fired. Not a pleasant experience. Hopped up on coffee, you know, grinding after a 8-hour film session after getting his ass kicked on national TV. And he's angry. And everything he said about the defense was true. And everything that the media was saying and fans were saying and all that. Like, I will admit, again, I feel this way about football press conferences and press conferences in general, they're largely worthless. Like people love to like grade press conferences and read into tone. And I'm a professional communicator. So like, I'm not dismissing the value of the spoken word in general, but like they're football coaches. They lie. Like it's spin. It's all that. Like I don't believe that Virginia McCaskey and George McCaskey had a meeting with Matt Nagy in the coach's room before they left Lambeau Field. And he said, you better meet the media and tell them or else we're losing. That seems so far-fetched to me. I don't think it was that calculated. I think he was just, he's pissed. He's being asked about his job. And he showed his ornery's side because he's pissed because the Bears have lost five games in a row. Like, I don't think it's much more than that in terms of his tone change. What about you?
I mean, I believe it was at least mildly calculated because Matt Nagy's sort of cheery, consistently glasses half full demeanor, that is what he shows as his public face. And I believe that is consistently calculated, just like the couple of times where he's been willing to, you know, publicly call out the details of the offense earlier in the season. What was that? After the Tampa Bay game, Thursday night game, where he showed up Friday morning seeming upset and talking about details, and then yesterday being willing to call out the defense. And I think as he went on and a couple of media members kind of followed up just essentially on his tone, you know, he did say, you know, I know my defensive guys can take it as well,
right?
You know, when it comes down to it. And I think that, you know, like Hub was referencing, he's out of anything else, one of the things that to me where I've said here that I think Matt Nagy has been a better head coach. He's been a more effective head coach than he has offensive coordinator, because I don't see the development of young offensive talent. I haven't seen guys improving at the rate that you would like. And the schematic issues that I've taken, you know, very consistently here over the last couple of years with how the offense has functioned, I think those are on him as the OC. But as the head coach, I think we've rarely seen evidence of what we saw evidence of from Sunday night, where it did look like the team, and especially, you know, I'd say most notably the defense, seemed not necessarily invested, not playing with that extra heartbeat on the field like they had been playing for several weeks leading into the bye. And where I thought that perhaps the bye week was coming at a good time and a timely time for the Bears was so these defensive guys could lick not just some physical wounds, but maybe some mental wounds, some emotional wounds of just feeling like, man, we keep laying it out there week after week over and over again, and it's unrequited because we get bupkis from the offense. And it can be hard. Like, effort is kind of a catch-all word, and you can be out there playing hard without necessarily being as locked in, as
sure,
engaged, finishing every play to the extent that you do when you're playing at your peak. And I think we saw plenty of evidence of that the other night in that game against Green Bay, where it was a defense not playing at their peak against an offense that was.
Texter writes in, Danny, are you related to Nagy? Only a family member or close friend would go to these lengths to beg on behalf of Nagy for the job. Man, I don't know how anybody could hear that as a defense of him. I just don't care about his tone in a press conference after a loss. Matt Nagy absolutely could be fired here. There is no defending their offense. I haven't tried for a few weeks. Like, he has been bad. Bill Lazor's been bad. Mitch has been bad. Foles has been bad. The line has been bad. The receivers have been bad. The tight ends have been bad. The backs have been bad. The player development's been bad. It's a broken, dysfunctional offense. There's no defending it. I'm just not going to be, like, indignant over the tone of the coach.
Yeah.
Well, you want him to sound happy?
Right. Like, how dare he call out the defense? I heard a lot of that. Like, how dare he call out the defense? Because they stunk the other night.
Right.
Like, he is the head coach, where I haven't necessarily gone out of my way to give him a whole bunch of credit for when the defense has consistently played well, because there was a quality defense in place when he got the gig. But that being said, he is the head coach. So, yes, I don't detract from you because you already had a good defense in place. You haven't made him any worse. That being said, the defense played poorly. He is well within his rights to tell them and to tell the public when they played poorly. The entire nation on the number one show on television saw the Bears defense play poorly. I got zero issue with him admitting that to the media the following morning. Now, I do, though, think that there is some calculation to that, because, you know what, it's high time that he's willing to call things out in I suppose, maybe more visceral manner than we've seen him do. I don't think he needs to be that guy all the time, and he certainly hasn't been. But to go there on occasion like he did after the Tampa Bay game and like he did yesterday morning, all right, cool. I mean, yep, they've earned it. This team is on a losing streak, man. They've earned being called out on occasion, and there's a whole lot of cities with a whole lot of coaches that will throw players under the bus a lot more than Matt Nagy's done since he's been the Bears coach. So whether it's offense, defense, or special teams, when they play poorly, I don't have an issue with him going there. I've taken issue with, you know, if anything, how he's, like, handled Mitch Trubisky is like this little, you know, gentle waif at times,
yeah,
over,
right,
the years when that kid's,
sure,
the starting quarterback. Yeah, treat him like a little more of an adult than you've treated Mitch. But overall, I don't have any issue with Matt Nagy at the podium.
And by the way, like, by the way, this is a funny text. If he gets fired, do you lose your allowance parkings? That's funny. Kudos. I'm not even going to refute that. That one, that's a good dig. The Score listener line, by the way, powered by BetQL. Bet smarter and beat the books. Download the BetQL app today or visit BetQL.com. I just think, and this is a little meta for the media, but like a little look behind the curtain, it's just easier for us in the media, not you, you played, to grade press conferences. Because it's our arena. Mm-hmm. We're asking the questions. They're communicating. They're doing what we do. You know, like, I don't know how to do what Matt Nagy does. I mean, but I know how to do what he's doing when he's at the podium, right? And so I think that you hear a lot of, like, I wouldn't have said that. I wouldn't have handled that question that way. And so we love to do it. And I just, like, it's nonsense. These players, sometimes they listen, sometimes they don't. Jimmy Graham didn't even know that they'd given up, that Matt Nagy gave up play calling to Bill Lazor. Like,
what, who, by the way, I did think called a good game the other night. I think that's lost in all of this because the offense was still bad and the Bears lost another game. I thought Bill Lazor called a pretty good game the other night. I thought it was much better than
the
first
fine.
Game.
It was fine. I thought some of the I'm all for taking a shot and stretching the defense, but I thought it was weird with it, like, everyone kind of fell all over themselves to be like, I had no problem with that throw into double coverage that was overthrown and was a easy interception. I'm like, really? They had been moving the ball. They were at the other team's 40-yard line, and he threw an interception in stride to the pack. You had no problem with like, you know, like, I just, because that was the halftime report. It was like, yeah. Michelle was like, we were taking a shot, and I liked it. I was like, really? That has to be defended?
Some things are more explainable than others. I mean, Mitch is bad, so it doesn't necessarily matter. The first interception was far more explainable than the second interception. Like, that's the type of interception that maybe Mahomes throws to Tyreek Hill if he gets held up at the line a little bit. Because you'll see him throw when it looks like Tyreek Hill is double covered, but he just knows Tyreek Hill is going to run past those two individuals. Whereas Mitch was trying to do that with Darnell Mooney, didn't work out because he's Mitch and they're the Bears.
I think Mahomes has two interceptions this year, both against the Raiders.
Whole seasons? Okay.
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, maybe in another world, that guy would throw that interception, but not in this world that we are currently living in, man. It's a he is so much better than everybody else right now. And Russell Wilson's amazing.
Than almost everybody else. Like, Aaron Rodgers is on the same planet as Pat Mahomes.
Yeah.
Even at this point. He is.
He's great. He's great. But I just, to be that good that early is just, it's a wild, wild thing to watch. He's the overwhelming favorite right now, like a 4-1 favorite to be MVP. And I think he's a 2-1 favorite, but then the second closest challenger is Aaron Rodgers, who's 4-1. So just the gap between where Mahomes and Rodgers is and the rest of the MVP field is pretty wide as it stands. Joe Ostrowski is on after us, so we're going to welcome him in to the conversation coming up. Joe O with me and Ann Heron next on The Score.
Tom and McHenry, what's going on?
Hey, Nick.
My name's Joe.
We're going to talk to Joe Ostrowski in a matter of moments. Let's check in on the text screen for reaction to Shane Reardon's pajamagram read. Oy vey, Shane, please stop. It's worse the second time. I wish I was deaf. Is this like drunk sexy? Has Shane ever met a woman? Wow, I hope this is a bit. Is Shane licking the mic as he reads this? Did Shane have a stroke in the middle of this read? I'm considering castrating myself after this. Okay. Also, the feedback is mixed. What did you think, Anthony Heron?
I rather enjoyed it. It caught me off guard. I completely forgot that it was happening. I was hoping for another reminder. As you get to know me better, you'll know my short-term memory is awful. It's like the character from, what was the movie, Memento, where I just, every
can't
few
remember.
Moments, I just have no idea what happened before. But my headset was on, and when I heard the smooth, dulcet tones of Shane Reardon in my ear, I got a little excited.
Hey, Danny, why didn't you read the good ones?
I didn't see any.
So seductive. Did I just get turned on by Shane? Yeah, you did. Those are the two.
Those are the one.
But there were two. More good ones in the first read.
Okay.
Hey,
I missed those. I'm
doing Pajamagram a favor here, getting a lot for their money. I'll tell you that.
That's true. Just try to keep it into that 60-second window.
No,
you know, it's a balancing act for a creator.
I like the pregnant pause afterwards as well. Like before we hear anything else, Shane finishes, and then there was just like a moment of silence before the next ad ran. It's a nice touch.
It is. It is. And I gotta say, man, you get a reaction out of people, and that's half the battle. So good job, good effort. And thank you. What time will they be tomorrow? Same time?
Not sure. We'll figure it out tomorrow.
Okay. I'm looking forward to that. That'll be good. I'm not.
You didn't. There was a question I had for you, Danny, before we get off the air. You didn't answer the, at least if you did, I've forgotten at this point, memento style. Which QB room would you rather have right now? Would you rather have the Eagles QB room or the Bears? QB situation is probably a better way to phrase it.
Yeah. I'd rather have the Eagles.
I shut it down.
I haven't given up on Wentz, and they have a guy that they like, presumably, if it isn't Wentz, in Hurts. So they got two guys who could be the guy. The Bears have zero guys who could be the guy, and they don't have a top draft pick. So like, if they use a first-round pick this year, they'll get maybe the fourth or fifth quarterback prospect in the first round. And they don't have cap space, so it's like the fear of the unknown, right? Mm. I don't know if the Bears are going to be able to add a guy in this draft or if it'll be the next draft or it'll be the future, right? But at least with Philly, you've got a broken guy and a second-round pick. But the broken guy could have been an MVP, and the second-round pick has upside. So I feel like there's two lottery tickets in Philly and zero in Chicago. What about you?
Yeah, I'd take the Philly scenario. I'm not out on Carson Wentz. I thought he did some great things last year in addition to what he did a couple of years before that. He's been plagued by injuries in recent years, so he's got some stuff to figure out. But I'd rather have a guy who I've seen do it multiple times for full seasons at a high level as opposed to just the unknown of hoping you kind of hit on a draft pick. I feel like people overvalue draft picks all the time. You don't know what's going to be there.
No question. And, man, I have no idea what the Bears are going to do at QB this offseason. If they're going to...
Better hope one of these potentially available veterans hits the street and you can make a run at them. Do you have the money to make a legit run at them? That's going to be a difficult task. But.
Right, but I mean, how long are you going to have to commit to a... Like, I mean, are you talking about like a Jimmy Garoppolo? Are you talking about Alex Smith?
I haven't been a Jimmy G guy. Yeah, more like an Alex Smith, more like potentially a Matt Ryan, you know, if Atlanta moves on, that type of thing. Who knows?
Yeah.
Maybe a Matt Stafford if Detroit moves on and decides they want to draft a guy, but I would rather
it be at least someone like that than a Sam Darnold type. I'd want someone who has demonstrated a high floor. Like if they're trying to patchwork it and just like win next year, right? Like draft an offensive lineman, sign an offensive lineman, acquire a veteran quarterback, and run it back for one more year with Matt Nagy, right? Give me a guy who has a high floor as opposed to Sam Darnold that's boom or bust.
My bigger concern with that, with the Sam Darnold scenario, is that we haven't seen that this crew can prove they can develop young offensive talent, and that's still what Sam Darnold is. He's young offensive talent.
Right.
Bring in a proven commodity, like maybe if you bring in Matt Ryan, you just run Matt Ryan's offense and know your offense will be better. Not top of the league, but better than it has been for a couple seasons now.
Ant, this was fun, man. Thanks for doing it.
Always is, man. Appreciate you having me.
No, I appreciate you doing it. Tomorrow, Matt Spiegel will be in. Joe Ostrowski is coming up next. Congratulations to Dan Bernstein, Camp One Step, for reaching their $25,000 goal, which got matched up to $50,000 here on Giving Tuesday. What Dan does with Camp One Step is truly making an impact. Adam Lefko and Hub Arkish were our guests. Nick Shepkowski is our executive producer. Thank you, sir. Shane Reardon helps us out throughout quarantine. And, I mean, he sells pajamas. He moves units. Oh, Pajamagram. We appreciate him as well. Chris Tannehill makes us sound better than we are each and every day. Thank you, sir. For Anthony Heron, I'm Danny Parkins. This is the Danny Parkins Show. Joe Ostrowski coming up next on The Score.
And that'll basically be the show because we don't have much time for anything else.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.